Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hello and welcome to The Shift, the podcast that aims to tell the no-holds-barred truth about being a woman post-40. Created and hosted by me, journalist and author Sam Baker. This week's guest has been in the tabloids since her early teens. In fact, like me, you're probably guilty of thinking you know all about Meg Matthews just because you read about her marriage to Noel Gallagher, her partying with the Primrose Hill set, and her journey off the rails and back on again. But she set out to prove us all wrong with her campaign to put an end to the menopause taboo and a new book, The New Hot.
We would not have had to go through that if I'd read yours or my book, then we would have been prepared for it. And then I wouldn't have had all those years of antidepressants, dark places, not leaving the home.
In her North London living room, Meg talks with sometimes brutal honesty about the symptoms that almost stole her sanity, losing the will to live, and, trigger warning, how watching her mum die from osteoporosis made her determine the same would never happen to her or to her daughter, Anais. I'm in the fabulous home of Meg Matthews in North London, and it's, do you know what, if I lived here, it would be covered in black cat hair, it would be a right mess, but it's pink and white and fabulous, and it's great to be here. Thank you, Meg, for letting me in your house with my mess and my...
That's fine. Well, you know what? I'm just lucky that Ziggy does not mold. He's a wired-haired Hungarian vischler, and he's going to come bounding in the door any minute, I think. So there's a fuss, a
it's
hustle,
all right.
And bustle.
We're good with
animal dog-friendly
noises.
Yes, good.
I've had Emma Freud's kittens. I've had...
Great. Okay, yeah, you've had them all. Brilliant.
Great. Meg, where do we start? Well, let's start with you telling the audience a bit about your menopause experience before we get on to the motivation.
About 48, I came back from holiday. I felt very anxious, overwhelmed with life, and also very tearful. So I went to my GP. I thought it was holiday blues. They gave me antidepressants for a year. They didn't really work. I started not to sleep. Then the anxiety was so bad a year later at 49 that I basically, you know, just could not cope. And I went to an AA meeting and I said, look, what's the use of being sober as I'm a recovering alcoholic? I might as well drink. And then this woman came up to me after the meeting. She said, I think you're going through the menopause, everything you shared about. So I looked at her, thought, oh, it's a bit cheeky, isn't it? You know,
yeah,
I'm not
that old.
No,
yeah.
I just had this image of my grandma, you know, grey hair with her walking stick. She gave me a number as I couldn't even drive. That's how bad it was. Like the fear of driving, I just worried, and this anxiousness, I couldn't even drive.
Right, so you had no clue what was happening to you at that point.
I thought the colourful 90s had completely caught up with me. My mum always said, this is going to catch up with you, Meg, you know, to my acid house days and my Britpop days and my punk rock days. I mean, every single part of that world was surrounded by drink, drugs and a fashion of some kind. So, you know, and I thought maybe I just shattered my nervous system, but it had taken 20 years to catch up with me.
That was the anxiety was the symptom, basically.
My main symptom, yeah. It was the main symptom. I didn't know that I hadn't had a period because I had the coil. And I was one of the ladies that don't bleed. So I didn't know whether I wasn't having a period. I didn't ever get hot flush. I still haven't today.
Lucky you.
You know, I do go red here. You can see I get like this. Yeah. But I think that's just a bit of nerves or...
Yeah, that's not hot flush. Yeah, that's just a bit red.
Yeah, just a bit red. And I get that sometimes. But I think I've always suffered with that.
But do you think that you would have known if you had got hot flushes, you might have thought, oh, maybe I'm having the menopause.
No. I would have thought it was, you know, I was flushing out everything that was... bad toxins in my system. So no, I didn't.
Well, you've really got a karma thing going on.
Yeah. The toxins
I had to pay for my world.
Yeah, I think, yeah. Well, I have had to pay for my sins, definitely.
I'm really interested in that mental health thing because I think that's nobody knows that that's going to be...
one of the symptoms.
That's so common with menopause.
When we did a survey, it's in the top five. Anxious, overwhelmed. Mm. Everything that we're taught or we've picked up over, like me watching Sex in the City with Samantha having a hot flush, you know, talking about finding a grey pube or, you know, all this sort of stuff wasn't there. So it was quite... it was worrying because I'd never heard anyone talk about my symptoms. I couldn't relate to it at all. And it started to be quite frightening until this lady shared with me and we chatted. And she told me all the products that she was taking, the estradiol gel. She told me everything, the Eustrogen. She sent me photos. So if it wasn't for this lady 6 years ago sharing with me her thing. I didn't find these from, you know, any other doctors. I got this from another woman back then, 6 years ago.
So who just was fluky, in. Not a friend or
no,
anything, just...
a complete stranger.
So how long had you been sober at that point?
Yeah, I was a good few years clean, let's say, yeah.
And it made you feel so bad that you just thought, what's the point?
Yeah, what's the point? Yeah, bad. Yeah, I feel that bad.
I think that's a really big deal.
Yes, it was. And so, you know, I was just a bit like, all right, I'm reaching 50. I don't drink, I don't smoke, I have a very healthy lifestyle. What the hell? Why am I doing this? What for? To feel this shitty? To feel this anxious? To feel this like I don't connect with life? I can't leave my house. I ended up not leaving my house for just up coming up to my 50th birthday. I did not leave the house for January, February and the beginning of March. And then I left to go for my 50th birthday.
God, that sounds so familiar, honestly.
Yeah, I just didn't want to leave this, like, womb. I was just, like, anxious. I would try and make excuses. Like, I would get up first, I would light a few candles, put my gym gear on, and Nurse would come down, and she'd get an Uber to school. I just said I was busy, so I couldn't drive her. It was only up the road. She was 15. And then my partner would come down, he would go to work. Then I would go upstairs, get back into bed, set my alarm for 4 p.m., get out of bed at 4 p.m, sort of smile and look a bit happy, pretend that I've worked out and I've had a great day. And then I would just say, look, should we have a takeaway, guys? You know, I can't be bothered to cook. But really, I just couldn't wait just to go and lie down again.
And you couldn't talk to anyone about it?
No, I didn't really know how to. I didn't really know what was going on. There was nobody was telling me.
What about girlfriends? Are you the oldest amongst your...
I am. Not that I am. No, I am probably, yeah. But there was still nobody. This was 6 years ago. There was one girlfriend, Janice V, who I started to connect with. And we were like, oh my God, we're both going through this. But we spent a year trying out tapping and crystal healing and hypnotherapy and... kinesiology and you name it. We probably both of us spent a good double figures, thousands on all this stuff, but not actually just going and getting our gels and basically doing what is not out there and it's not really made available, this information. So hopefully that the information that you can get from this book and from the website, you'll have the ABC of HRT, you'll be able to read this and it'll be like the Bible.
Yeah, and absolutely. Yeah. It's super useful. And I was reading it yesterday. I was thinking, wow, if it's just been that easy, digestible place to find it. 6-7 years ago, because I had a really similar, not exactly the same experience, but like anxiety, lack of confidence, like also rages. Yeah. And I just didn't know until my period started drying up. I literally didn't have a clue what was happening to me.
No, I didn't either. And look, you're a really well-renowned journalist. Even in your world, you think you would have come across it in the whole time that you were working in publication and everything. You know, this is why when I start the conversation, women's eyes light up and I can see, and I just love when I can see and feel that they are like, oh my gosh, maybe this is me. And there isn't this information out there. You know, it's brilliant. They're calling it the Me Too now, which is amazing. And Michelle Obama and Sharon Stone and all these great people. But if we have to look 6-7 years ago, there was nothing out there. Then no one was talking about it. When I started to go through this, I was like, why aren't any of those women, those great women that we look up to over the years and years, great actresses, great philanthropists or whatever we call them, you know, why has no one come out and said it?
They must have had it.
Of course they have. Yeah, exactly. They've all had it and they can't tell me. I know everyone doesn't go through this, but 90% of people have some symptoms,
When I started, none of my friends were going through it at all. No. So they were just like, oh, no. And all my, they were also a little bit like, oh, get away. Like, it literally put
Like it's going to be catching.
Like it's catching.
A weakness. It's like a sort of saying, I am an alcoholic, I'm going through the menopause. And I just knew the same way as I brought strength to saying I'm an alcoholic within these all these times that I'm talking, I got a DM today and it made me and Anais like cry, because there was this woman who just watched my recovery one with Fat Tony on YouTube or whatever. And she just said, Meg, she said, I'm sorry, I just wanted to send you this, but you know, I can relate to everything you said. And I think you've saved my life, and I've booked to go to rehab and I've opened up to all my family.
Oh,
and I'm
amazing.
Like 43 years of age. And I was just like, oh my God, it's just beyond. Because I reached out and said, do you need my help and everything? And she said, well, take my number. And then she messaged me out and said, look, I've just managed to start speaking to a rehab, and I've decided I could just relate. So it's anything. And I just think, you know, a lot of women do drink a lot. Not, you know, not saying it's bad, but, you know, when I talk
about it,
there's a reason why I talk about it. And I don't know why I do, but it just seems to come out when it's the right time. Maybe it's because I feel that it's something that will help a lot of people, because they don't, the same way as there's shame and a stigma with alcoholism and with menopause, they shouldn't be. We know it's a disease and it should not be seen like that. So maybe, hopefully, that along the journey it will help all sorts of women.
So when this woman at AA introduced you to HRT, what did you do then? Did you just head straight to your doctor?
So I rang up my GP, made the appointment. They said 2.5 weeks. So me being, I'm quite a privileged person. So I did make an appointment with my gynecologist. My gynecologist said, come in. I went in the next day. And then she gave me, Sineas, it's my daughter. Hi.
Yeah.
She said, I'll do your bloods. And then I'll give you estrogen and progesterone, and we'll see if you need testosterone in a couple of days. Now, that's quite a privilege, because to see a menopause, it can be 280 to 3 pounds pressure. Your blood's on top, 500 to 700 pounds. Now, so then in 2.5 weeks, I took my bag and I went to the GP and I tipped it out on the table, everything that I had. And she looked and she just went, oh, I don't know. She was young. And I just thought, I said, well, look in your magic book. So I made her look in the book, and we could see that estradiol and progesterone and testosterone was available. Excellent. So basically the woman in AA also told me about menopause clinic. So she's the one who gave me all this information,
Astrid
woman.
Woman was really
and she wasn't
critical.
Even English. She was Brazilian. She was quite fab as well. And she told me all these things. So I went with this information to the GP. And I said to the GP, you know that you can refer me to this menopause clinic. There's one at Chelsea in Westminster. There's one at the Royal Free. But I can go anywhere. I don't have to stay in my borough, which I thought I did. There's only 17 or 18 in the UK. Now, she couldn't give me testosterone. So if you go to a menopause clinic, they are allowed to give you testosterone.
Yeah, but and it's only male testosterone, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, but...
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, whatever. You know, there is a female one that is available in the UK. You can get it privately. But I get a big... I have to say this. I get a big tester gel like that, which is man's. I do a pea size. It lasts me like 6 to 8 months. If I do buy the the feminine one. Okay, it's like a little tube of toothpaste. So, and I feel, I'm sorry, but I want to get my money's worth. I'm going to take this for the next 40 years.
Really interesting though, isn't it? It's like, oh, it's for women. It's non-essential, so it can cost a fortune and be really small.
Mm. So the tester gel, because they have to do good lots of pumps, men, we do a pea size and it lasts me. Are you okay?
I'm just laughing at that. It's just how everything is with women. You can buy men's razors in packs of 20, but women's razors like £30.
Exactly. And it's pink.
And it's pink.
Exactly. They just make everything more expensive for women.
That's true.
Well trained, yeah. Yeah, so basically, getting back to this, it's so all the information I was given by this wonderful woman.
She was like a godsend.
Yeah, and so this was even before that I discovered the menopause doctor or anything. So I'd already been given all this information, and then I was so pleased when I went on and I was started to speak to all these great menopause women that I wanted to work with, like Dr. Reese Newson, Liz Earle.
How did you go from going to your GP and going, here's all the stuff, to I'm a woman on a mission now?
Because as I laid in my bed for 3 months and I was looking on website and having this sort of, what am I going through? Well, it was sort of like after that 3 months. So I shouldn't say I was in the bed then. It was like after that, everything just fell into place. It was so organically. Like, I designed all my products in 2016 that are there. They're vegan, they're natural, they're sustainable, they're in sugarcane husk, they're made in Britain, they're packaged in Britain. And even that, it's like I was looking at the planet, I'm not doing any plastic. So they're 3% plastic. Well, all this stuff was just coming out of somewhere. And it was just organically, the products, I made them, I did them all, I did the ingredients. My juices were flowing, shall I say? Yeah. Not quite. No. I haven't seen them for a little while, but anyway.
Join the club. But I think that's really interesting, because my theory is that when you get a hold of menopause and you get kind of through it, or, you get it under control.
Yeah.
Then you kind of start to have this kind of almost powerful. This power.
Yeah, yeah. Superpower. And you're right. I just think I've never felt more comfortable or more confident in my skin. As you say, I just seem to become, as I always like to think of it, as the wise woman. Okay, so if we had the tribe throughout time, I would be the wise woman of the village. People would come to me for my stories. They would come to me for my knowledge. I wouldn't be fornicating anymore with the young warriors. That's been taken away from me. I'd be having the children. Food would be brought to me. And I would basically be the wise woman. And I feel that is what's happening now. People don't bring food to me. But my wisdom that I have got through this journey of mine, through all my life, which has been a very, very, amazing life that I've led. And I have done a lot of amazing things. So I just think it's my time to give my and share my experience and my knowledge with every other person.
And when you started going to experts saying, I'm going to set up this website, I want to use my platform to get menopause out there, how did they react?
Amazing. Everyone's been so helpful. Everyone has had me on their platforms, had me. I've worked really closely with, Dr. Louise Newson, Liz Earle. I mean, everybody, as we support everyone. I think the menopause is great. It's a time where it's not, we all get together. We all help each other. It's not that young bitchy sort of place.
No,
it's really nice. I will support any woman or whatever anybody else has got going on. And I see today that everyone posted today all my stuff. So, we really are like a community, and the more of us together, because there isn't many of us, and the more that we can support and help and get changes in this country, like if we all get together, like lobbying in Parliament, around the workplace, GPs, around getting the information and the knowledge out there, and if you can't, that's why the new hot is about, so women can pick this up and knowledge is power. So even from the age of 35, if I had the chance, I'd be reading this book, because it's going to prepare you for the whole of your perimenopause, which can start, as we know, from a very early age, from 40. Which was like for me, because now I know when I go on my app and I can do a symptom tracker on there, and it, you know, and it's just at your hand, you just do it every day, you will see. So I know now that I'm back then when I used to have those weeks of not feeling myself, I just thought I was hungover, but it was definitely probably that. But I also think it was definitely my hormones going up and down.
Why do you think people are so, or have been so reluctant to talk about it?
Because there was a stigma and there was a taboo, and I don't know why there's a stigma and a taboo. I don't know why. And
do you think it's because people don't want to admit to being old or over the hill or past it?
Yeah, but we're not old, are we?
No,
when
exactly.
I look at, maybe it's something to do with our generation. There is a complete difference between a 50-year-old now in 2000 than there is in the 90s, 80s, 70s, you know, we go right back, because when my gran was still having a blue rinse and, you know, and was quite frail, you know, I mean, they had a quite a hard life, didn't they, you know, coming up from the war and stuff like this. And I don't know, it's just now when you look at a 50-year-old woman and we go back, it's not the same.
Also, it's like all our, I don't know about you, your nan and my nan, you know, they all had osteoporosis.
Yeah.
And it's like what nobody said, that's because you haven't got any estrogen.
No, nobody said, even
nobody
to my mum.
No.
My mum died of osteoporosis. It was the most hideous thing that I've ever seen. And I watched her die and, you know, were in a hospice, and it just took away all her life. She didn't want to live anymore. She ended up in a nappy. She had a fractured spine, heel, and it took, you know, it was like 2 or 3 years, and it was really sad to watch. And, you know, if I can give information out there, because I knew she had osteoporosis, but I had no clue that it was connected with the menopause.
Yeah.
She said she had osteoporosis, and I knew it was genetic, is that right? Yeah. And I was like thinking, okay, so maybe I just get that. But I had no clue that if I took estrogen gel, which is a prevention, without having to say, when I got diagnosed with osteoporosis at the age of 46, I basically had no idea what to do. I was just going to take all these tablets, but I didn't take them. And I ended up last year really thinking, God, I've already had it now, 47, 48, 49, 50, 51, 52, 53, 54. That's still a long time. But when you say 46 to 54, it doesn't sound that long, but it's like 8 years or whatever it is. It's a long time of having it. And now I haven't got it.
Right, you haven't.
Between 2018 and 19, I did a DEXA scan. 2018, I had osteoporosis. 2019, I did a DEXA scan live with Dr. Newson and Professor Reed, who works closely with the Royal Osteoporosis Society, and I managed to come out of the red and into the board of osteopenia, and that's amazing. And that was with no and taking no drugs, just taking the estrogel, watching my diet, and doing weight bearing exercises.
Yeah, because there's so much of, you know, the advice around osteoporosis is take calcium.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of other things. You need magnesium, you need, you know, you don't just take loads of calcium because you'll fur up your arteries. So, you know, it's about big green leafy diet, you know, lots of magnesium. Yeah, you know, you take calcium, but don't just take those big, huge, crunchy capsules, you know, things that are that size and think, oh my God, that's going to save me, because it's not. And even that should be put out there, because my mum used to think that. She used to crunch away on that with all the medicine, all the calcium, but she wasn't having any magnesium, so there was nothing going into her body.
I just think that's one of the very many things about menopause that we don't know, that it, you know, is the lack of estrogen that
And that's what I mean. That's why I'm trying to get the message out there, because there'll be, you know, we know 1 out of 2 women in the UK will suffer osteoporosis, 1 out of 3 will suffer a stroke or a heart attack. Now, I only learnt this with the British Heart Foundation, because I thought that, you know, that was big men drinking 20 pints of beer a night, smoking 40 fags and eating, you know, pie and chips, but it's not. Women are suffering more because the estradiol protects our heart as well. And my mum had a stroke when she was in the hospital, so all these things are flagging up for me, and I've seen it first-handed. So that's why it made me want to go delve deeper and deeper into this.
Do you remember your mum having menopause?
No, because I left home at 17. Yeah. And I was in London, and then when I would go home at weekends, they were always so happy to see me. I can't really remember her ever sort of, I wasn't really there for it. So I would go home and see her, or she would come to me, but I never noticed it. And she was not very moody, and so it wasn't really picked up on.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
What other symptoms have you had?
I had loss of libido. I had aching joints. I didn't sleep. I did have night sweats. I mean, I ticked off 24 symptoms.
Yeah, I did the thing in the book as well. I think you've got a list of 34 symptoms in the book.
Yeah.
And I think it was only like two or three that I hadn't
had. Yeah. I mean, I had dry mouth syndrome, I had dry eye syndrome. I mean, my mouth still sticks together. My tongue feels too big for my mouth, but it's a weird sensation. So I always like that.
You've got loads of coping mechanisms as well, haven't you? I mean, loads of like, do lots of natural things.
Yeah.
And you're very healthy. Tell us a bit
about. So I think my lifestyle is, it's progressed with my journey, because feeling good and feeling grounded is my biggest one every day. So every day I, you know, walk outside with nature. And as much as it used to seem, when I used to think about this, I used to think, oh yeah, so airy fairy. I really did think like that as well. But when I started doing it, it really worked for me. It was like, you know, walking my dog early in the morning, doing 10 minutes of yoga, not like hours, just 10 minutes, just wakes up everything, opens your heart, opens all your chakras, 5 minute meditation, lots of water, lots of green juices, you know, just the things that feed my body and my soul, and it really works.
You are super healthy, aren't you?
Yeah. But it feels good. It's not like, you know, to feel really healthy, the thought of not feeling healthy scares the living daylights out of me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think when you come through the other side and you feel like this, you're, why would I want to not feel like this? You know?
So how was it going through this when your daughter was going through adolescence?
Fine. She was amazing around it. She is amazing. I
love her little piece in the book.
Yeah.
It's really sweet.
Yeah. She was great. I mean, we've always been really open. So, you know, I talked about it and was completely open with her. And, you know, she's a very open young woman and, you know, is very wise and very, beyond her years, should I say, I feel. She's great. Yeah, so everything, you know, with her is she's always had a great opinion about everything. And she wasn't like, oh my God, it's the menopause. She was like, oh, okay, you know. And since then, she's a big advocate of it, should I say. I hear her talking with her friends, and all her friends buy all my intimate washes and...
Because you've kind of made it into, well, it is your mission now. And is she cool with that?
Totally cool, yeah. Why wouldn't you be?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, her menopause, when it comes a long way down the line, will be a lot easier because of this.
Yeah, of course. And that's what I hope that we would achieve from this. Yeah.
So have you, Did you feel at any point that you were, as you were a woman getting older, that you were being, the society was kind of invisibling you?
Yeah, no, I mean, no, not really. I don't think my mind was really, did that much thinking about that. It was just, yeah, I want to get better, I want to get well. So it might be sort of selfish. I wasn't really thinking, I wasn't looking out there thinking, oh, I walk down the road and no one whistles from the scaffolding anymore. Or, I walk into a bar and people don't turn. But for me it wasn't. I just wanted to feel good in me. So that outside bit.
It outweighed. Because you were, you were a party girl.
Yeah.
And, and people used to like look at pictures of you, people being on the other side of the being outside Meg Matthews, and you were just like always out having a fab time with your mates and being cool and wearing cool clothes. And now you're I don't want to say poster girl for menopause because...
Yeah, an advocate.
Yeah. Much better. It's denigrating to say poster girl.
Yeah.
But that's a really big shift, isn't it? How does that sit?
Well, that's why I suppose I got made career shifter of the year for Red Magazine in 2017. Yeah, I think that's, it was a big...
It's a hell of a pivot.
But then also, we'd also open up to a new... thing, because before, if you were a model, you had to be a model, you couldn't be an actress and a singer. So I've noticed that there was a complete shift for people, that if you were a presenter, you could go in acting and you could be a model and then you could sing. And I think the same way as career shifter, the same year that I got voted or got accepted that award, there was Samantha Cameron, she was able to do her clothing range without getting stick as well. So I think also moving along, we were allowed to do this for some reason, saying we were allowed, but we didn't get people back slapping us, that we'd done something wrong or, we couldn't do that. It was like we were able to move forward.
It does feel like it's a bit of a generational, like you were saying earlier about that being a bit of a generational shift. It's like what our parents had to put up with. But also, it's like, I don't know about you, but I would kind of look down when I was working with loads of millennial women and think, there's no way they are going to put up with their Facebook feed suddenly being full of caftans and smocks because they're a middle-aged woman. There's no way they're going to put up with this. So, why should we?
Yeah. Yeah, true. Very true. But mine doesn't.
So what do you think about the representation of women our age in the media and advertising and all of
well,
that
Well, I mean,
stuff?
That's like, that's a whole other thing, isn't it? I mean, we still see, YSL and Tom Ford. I mean, they're girls of 20 with their skincare. I do believe that we are moving and we need to move away from that. Personally, I don't really take it on that much because I know that it's a young girl and it's a young girl and we know she's that age. So I still go to Hourglass or whatever and buy stuff. So I don't really
think about it.
No, I don't actually. I mean, I get asked this a lot, but I haven't really sort of gone down that route of...
Well, you've kind of got a few things on your plate.
Yeah, I have. I do know in magazines, of course, I flick through and I see young people, but that's just the world of advertising, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is, yeah.
Mm. And they're always going to, use those women.
Yeah, and they, it's their job.
Yeah.
I work really hard at my job, but it isn't my job to...
To look, no.
To look like that, luckily.
No, and me as well. I mean, I try to look the best I make of myself, but, it's like, I would never be a hand model, and there's some people that are just hand models.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. It's like the whole fuss about when J-Lo and Shakira did the Super Bowl, and there was a real mixture of people. Half the people were like, oh my God, that's just more pressure on me to look like that.
I'm just like, go there, amazing. If I look like that at 50, embrace it, look like it. You're not J-Lo, you're at home, you're not on a film set, you're not all about your look and what you do. And she, when you look how many films she's done and how hard she works out and how, she's amazing at singing. I mean, that's why she is where she is. It's like Madonna where she is, because they have something, that little bit of very special stuff about them. It's why they are there.
Yeah, and they work incredibly hard to get there and stay there as well. Yeah. What's your emotional age?
14.
14. Really, I love the answers to this question so much, Tell me why it's 14.
Because the minute you start taking drink and drugs, you spiritually stop growing.
Yeah,
there you go.
But you've done so much growing since then.
Yeah, oh yeah, I have now, yes. So yeah, my age now, I don't indulge anymore. So of course I'm growing spiritually and connecting and open to everything now. I'm not sort of, you know, bogged down, you know.
Do you still feel like that young Meg inside?
Yeah, I'm still quite a young Meg, yeah. Very, yeah, I think I am, yeah.
Would you go back if you could go back to any age, would you?
No,
nor would I.
No, I'm very happy to be this age. I have a far sigh of relief that I don't have to be 20. I'm really, you know, feel a lot for young people. When I was listening to LBC, when everyone was getting the results in and the stories, and I was just so sad for these people that had lost their places at Cambridge and stuff, and they'd worked so hard. I just hope that it gets, you know, a bit better.
Yeah, it's tough, definitely.
Yeah.
Where do you want to see Meg's menopause?
Just growing. And becoming like megsmenopause.com, like a magazine with all the health of the menopause. But, you know, you just don't go on there to shop the products and the menopause. I want to turn it into an amazing hub, Meg's Lab, and all the amazing vegan products that on my journey through my life that I've come across that I love, I want to share with other people. I just want it to be the goop for normal people who can afford it.
What's been the best thing about this journey?
The messages I get back and the people that I help, just like, thank goodness I discovered you, and thank you what you've done, and thank you for being honest about your vulnerability, about your drinking, about your anxiety, and making us all feel normal. Yeah,
it's amazing, isn't it? Because I still, when I think about it, I'm still so shocked how, like you say, we're not women who never left the house, you know.
I know, that's what I mean.
So to be so in the dark.
Yeah.
I'm still shocked when I think about it, and people still don't believe it. But then I was talking to a woman last week who just read my book, and she said she gave it to her. So she was in an early menopause because she'd had a hysterectomy, and she gave it to her friend first. She said, you have to read this. And she was like, oh, but it's about the menopause. I'm not there yet. And she's like, well, A, it's not just about the menopause. It's about life. But also, what are you going to do? Are you going to wait until it's like smacks you in the face?
Yeah,
when you don't have to. We had to.
Yes, we had to. Like, me and you went through all that on our own, in our heads, you know, through all that time thinking, what is going on? And that's what I mean. Like, with your book and my book, you know, you can pick this up, and that's, and because I've got ADHD and dyslexia, I needed it to be lots of colour, broken up, boxes. You know, so when I look at it, it's not daunting and overwhelming. That's the reason why I made Meg's Menopause like it was, and the Instagram like it was, because I wanted things to be quick and colourful and a few lines, and then you could go on the website and then you could get more detailed. But you could get what you needed just from, you know, tapping on those photos or pictures and images. And the same way with my book, I was like, I need it to be like this because I need it when I open it that I don't go, oh. Because that's what happens to me.
Don't want it to be intimidating.
Yeah.
Off-putting.
And I just thought, you know, you can carry this around and you can look at it and you can just flick and, you know, all the things it's got in it, and like, you know, Meg's makeups for tips and my favourite products and just everything in there. Let's talk about it. Just all nice little, you know, quality pieces, but not, you know, too much.
Yeah, because I think one of the reasons people don't want to talk about the menopause is because they feel like it's an end. And I think the more women like us, you know, you, me, Michelle Obama, are going, it's not the fucking end. Actually,
it's not the end. Yeah, that's what we need to tell.
It's
because
the start of a whole new thing.
Yeah, a whole new thing. But, you know, we were not about to go through that. If I'd read yours or my book, then we would have been prepared for it. And then I wouldn't have had all those years of antidepressants, dark places, not leaving the home. Having to get, knowing that if I do this and I do that, then my life is, I'm going to feel better, and, you know, the brain fog will go, and, you know, and the estradiol gel is just like the best thing ever invented. And why wasn't it out there? I just said HRT and I got like this banner that just kept saying cancer, and I was like, what? Didn't know that there wasn't. I was still thinking about, you know, synthetic HRT, the old-fashioned HRT tablets. I just thought it was all like in one thing. When Sarah Matthews gave me my gel and I was like rubbing and I said, what, that's all I do? So, you know, I'm not testing my blood. And, you know, I was like that. I was thinking, oh, the hormones regulate and all this sort of stuff. Maybe I'll put a tiny bit too much in and then I'll get breast cancer. That's what I went to. The fear and the no knowledge. And like you said, we say knowledge is power. When you don't have that, it's fearful, it's scary, it's not understanding it. And it's so simple. It's like so simple that that's why I get annoyed. It's like a joke. It's not even like, you know, this should be available and it should be out there for every single woman in the world. It should just be there.
Yeah, instead of a whole...
Yeah.
You have to track it down, like you have to go on safari to find it. And then, yeah, like you say, if it's easier to get, if you can afford to go and get it, like you went private.
Yeah.
I went private because I had a gynecologist who I'd been seeing because I'd had loads and loads of gynecological problems. But I spoke to so many women and they were, you know, a lot of them were like, you know, I had real trouble getting my doctor to give me anything. They always gave me antidepressants first.
Yeah.
But
they don't know. That's the problem. It's not their fault. They don't know.
Well, they're general practitioners, of course.
Yeah, and they get... we looked in it. I think it was Diane Brusen. I can't ever say her name.
Brusen.
But anyway, Diane. She was telling me that there's, I think, 28 medical stores in this country training our doctors, and most of them only have 3 hours on the menopause, and some of them curriculums don't even have it, and it's not up to date. It's not up to what Louise Newson and everyone is talking about. So unless a GP decides to go out and redo, you know...
So doctors have 3 hours teaching?
Yeah, on the menopause in the whole 7 years.
Oh my God.
And that's going to happen to every, you know, half the population.
So unless they specialise, that's it?
Yeah. And there's not many menopause specialists.
No, hardly any. It's really hard to find one.
You know, and so this is another thing that needs to be changed. Unless they want to go out and do their own research, and, you know, that's why Louise Newson is always doing workshops for GPs. She does big, you know, she does big conferences, teaching them the up to date. You know, and I know it's not their fault. It's because it's just not there for them to learn. So they don't have all the body identicals, the oestrogen, progesterone, and, you know, they just don't know. And I'm sure after a full day's work, you know, they're so busy anyway, our GPs, that, you know, it's probably the last thing they're going to think about. But, you know, half the population are going to go through the menopause.
Yeah. Do you ever feel like if men went through the menopause, it would be a totally different ball game?
Probably. I'm sure it would have been. It's like Viagra, isn't it? Now you can just go to Boots and buy it.
Yeah.
You know, over the counter, you know. So, yeah. You know, when our libido goes, you know, we just have to, like, do everything in our power to bring it back. But, you know, a man just can take a little tablet and that's it.
Yeah.
He doesn't even have to mentally get in the zone.
No.
You know, to have an orgasm.
No, because I've heard... the laser rejuvenation, Mona Lisa treatment, referred to as female Viagra. And it's like, hang on a minute.
That cost you three and a half grand.
Yeah, 3.5 grand. And Viagra is $19.99. You can buy it in Boots.
Yeah. No. Yeah, I've had the rejuvenation, and it doesn't give you libido back, by the way. You do have an orgasm while you're having it done, but doesn't basically bring it back, no.
Does it hurt?
No, it's amazing. It doesn't hurt at all, and it does really plump it back up again.
Because as
you know, like collagen on our faces, our vulvas, as we get older, they get flatter. They're not as plump as they used to be, like your face. You lose collagen there, the same in your face. So you need to look after your vagina as much as you look after your face. That's why I made all vaginal products. Yeah. God. Intimate wash and balms and lubricants, you know, because no one else was making stuff. And I basically did the balm because I could feel that when I wore jeans or when I would chafe when I had my leggings on, which didn't happen to me before.
No.
And it was because the vulva it's not as plump as it was. So that's why I came up with them.
And then people really don't want to talk about that, do they?
No, everyone sort of squirms, but, you know, if you just talk about it, then it takes the sort of...
Because I really liked that you did in your book, and in my book I've got a chapter about atrophy, because I had a really bad time with it.
Yeah, it's painful.
And people just kind of say, oh my God, you really go there, don't you? And you're like, well, what's the point of writing about it?
Yeah, if you're not going to. I mean, yeah, when I went to my gynecologist and they took out my coil, you know, she said, oh, you've got a bit. And I said, oh, I know, I've got a bit of thrush. I'm so sorry, I've been using laser canister. She went, no, it's little white marks there. That's probably vaginal atrophy. I'm going to give you some steroid cream, some whatever, cortisone cream. I was like, cortisone on my vagina. Oh, my God. And then she was like, yeah, that would do. And then I was like, well, what do you mean? I never even heard of that word, vaginal atrophy. Probably saying it wrong. But I'd never heard of that either. It was just like, gosh, everything I do, there's something new. Now I have to go home and read about that, find out more about that. You know?
When I've tried to talk to a couple of friends of mine about it, they were literally like, la, 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 I'm not listening. Go away. Take it away.
But, you know, it probably will. Even that percentage is very high. Collapsed pelvic floor, 1 in 3 women. And that's the whole hammock of muscles that goes, you know, runs right across there. You know, why is Tenor Lady a multi-million, billion-pound company? Even in everywhere you look, they are, you know, nappies and pads and knickers with pads in. And, you know, I never knew what that lady on before Lorraine was doing, springing across a field with beautiful grey hair. She was a good-looking older woman. And it said Tenor Lady. For years I've watched that, for like 30 years. Never clicked to me. Oh, is that because, pelvic floor? Now we know 1 in 3 women is going to have that problem when they cough or sneeze, and then it happened to me. So I was like, oh, wow, yeah, I stopped wearing beige, you know, pants and pale pink. I just went straight for black, and I used to always wear light colours. Yeah, when I was training
in
the gym.
So black?
No, not today. No, in the gym. I won't be coughing here, it'll be fine.
So I'm going to ask you the 4 questions that I always ask at the end. Okay. Firstly, what piece of advice would you want to give younger women?
Even if you want to cringe, and not just because it's my book, but, you know, just take in about perimenopause, menopause, postmenopause, even if you just get a bit of knowledge on it, it will really prepare you in life.
If you had a superpower, what would it be?
Oh, gosh, I've never thought of this one. If I had a superpower, what would it be? Go through time, I think. So I could go back and change everything for me. Back there and change it and then come back to the future. Yeah.
Would you like to do that, really?
Well, yeah, so then I could prepare myself for all what was going to happen to me. Yeah, that's what I'd like to do, yeah.
Who are the older women who you either know or don't know, who are in the public domain, who you think are inspiring role models?
Well, it was my mum. And I think, you know what, I'm not going to just say the likes of, you know, Michelle Obama. I think all women who are coming forward like you, you know, myself and other women that are basically stepping up and out and talking about this. And as the Telegraph said, it's the new Me Too movement. You know, women that are basically going to their HR and saying, you know, we need changes, and, you know, all those women.
And just one last one. How many fucks do you give?
Oh, I don't really swear. how many fucks do I give? Fuck it. One.
Just one.
Yeah. Yeah, just one. That'd be. And even that was hard for me to say.
Cool. Thank you.
Brilliant. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. I'd love to hear your feedback. You can reach me on Twitter at Sam Baker and Instagram at The Other Sam Baker using the hashtag The Shift. You can hear a new episode of The Shift each week on Acast, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. If you like what you hear, please do rate and subscribe, because it really does help other people find us.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There's stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like wary of police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.